By some estimates, the average household spends an astonishing 40% of its food budget eating out. That's a lot to digest. Hi, I'm Rob West. After housing and transportation, food is probably the next biggest item in the budget. It's also a place where you can easily make changes that will save you a lot of money. I'll talk about that today, and then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Okay, obviously I'm talking about cutting back on eating out and preparing more of your meals at home. I know that a lot of families have two working parents, or maybe mom or dad's busy driving vans full of kids to soccer or baseball practice, and that it's difficult to avoid the convenience of fast food. But there's always a cost for that convenience, and not just with money. Fast food tends to pack on the pounds, and when you eat out, you have less control over nutrition. So those are all good reasons to eat in more often, and it starts with planning. In this case, menu planning. How many times have you looked at something in the cupboard and thought, why did I buy that? You can avoid that by planning out your meals for the week, breakfast, lunch, dinner, and snacks before you go to the store. This also allows you to choose healthier options like fruits, vegetables, and nuts. When you're making up your menu plan, choose meals that you can make ahead of time over the weekend. It takes the guesswork out of what to eat during the week and all that last-minute scrambling. Once you have your menu plan, you can list all the items you need to make those meals. Then, take an inventory of your fridge and cupboards, crossing off stuff you already have. What's left is your shopping list, and when you go to the store, stick to your list and you'll start saving money right away. That can be hard to do, especially if your stomach is grumbling from all that meal planning, so maybe have a snack or eat a meal before you head out to the grocery store. That's one way to prevent impulse buying. Here's another one. Try to avoid the middle sections of your grocery store. That's where they put things like cookies, candy, and chips. If you're shopping after work with a low energy level, it's hard to resist those things. But if you concentrate on the outer sections of the store, you'll be able to pick up a lot of the items you need for your menu plan, things like meats, vegetables, fruits, and yogurt. Obviously, you'll have to duck into the middle for certain items, but do a quick surgical strike and get back to the safe outer zone. You'll also want to stock up on staples when you can get them at a good price. Cereals, rice, cornmeal, and oatmeal are often sold in bulk at bigger stores. You also want to choose lower price options for protein in your meal planning. Hamburger costs less than steak. Chicken costs less than hamburger. And working a meat-free dinner into your weekly menu plan will also save you some hard-earned money. And it almost goes without saying, making coffee at home and taking it to work is a lot cheaper than buying designer coffee. The same goes for water. Bring a bottle from home instead of buying it out. Another great idea is to take advantage of the free pickup option that many larger grocery chains offer now. There may be a minimum order required, but it's not difficult to meet. Just go to the store's website, sign up for curbside pickup, and check the items you need. That way, you're not tempted to buy unnecessary items while pushing a cart around the store. And you can keep a running total of what you're spending, making it easier to stay on budget. Curbside pickup is also a great option if you usually have little ones hanging on the cart yelling, "Buy me this!" Here are some other ways you can avoid overspending on groceries. Be careful where you shop because prices vary. Generally, the bigger the store or chain, the lower the prices. The service may not be as great in warehouse stores, for example, but you can make up for that with savings. Of course, some of the big box grocery stores have membership fees, so that's an added cost. But if you shop there even once a month, it's probably worth it. One thing to consider, though, the packages at those stores tend to be gigantic, so make sure you can use up the item before the expiration date and that you have room in the fridge for that 2-gallon jar of pickles. Now, there's one more way to save on your grocery shopping, and that's by not leaving home at all. You can buy a lot of household necessities online from sites like Amazon and other online merchants, so try to take advantage of offers for free shipping. So those are some things that can help you eat more of your meals at home, saving you a ton of your hard-earned money in the process. All right, your calls are next, 800-525-7000. I'm Rob West, and this is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. We'll be right back.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Where is God? It's a basic question we ask children as they are growing up. The obvious answer being, everywhere. But in the light of Christ's coming, we can give a different answer. Christ telling us in Matthew 28, "And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." Yes, the Lord is everywhere. He's omnipresent, as theologians say. But for Christians, He is always with us in a very powerful sense. We experience His presence in a special and blessed way. And we're called to move into the world to bring that presence with us. "Go therefore," He said, "and make disciples of all nations." He's with us always, and He goes with us. Spend more time with Jesus. Visit GetAnchor.com.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
Bishop E.W. Jackson is on a mission.
Some people are just embarrassed to be Americans. That's a big problem. I mean, I've heard people say that. They're embarrassed to be Americans. I'm not embarrassed to be American. I love my country. I'm thankful to God that I'm an American. I'm thankful to God to live in this land of freedom and opportunity and hope. And I'm fighting to make sure that that never changes.
The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson, every weekday at noon Central on AFR, or catch the podcast at AFR.net.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. The number to call, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. We'd love to hear from you today and know what you're thinking about financially. We'd also love to hear your testimonies. How has God been working in your financial life? What does it look like as you've been applying God's wisdom? And how has that really helped you in your journey? What has that also done for you spiritually as you've thought about the impact of your financial life on your walk with the Lord? We'd love to hear any and all of that at 800-525-7000. We've got some lines open, and we'd love to hear from you. All right, let's head to the phones and begin in South Carolina. Michael, thank you for calling, sir. Go ahead.
Hi, Rob. How are you today?
I'm well, thank you. And you?
Doing very well. And by way of testimony, I will say, speaking of saving money on groceries and such, I do a lot of loading and unloading of the dishwasher during the week. And I have just look at it as every time I unload and load that dishwasher, I'm saving money, and saving money makes my wife happy. So She's a big fan of your radio show, and now I am too. So that's my little.
I'm delighted to hear that. I'm a part of your club, Michael. I'm the dishwasher guy in our family as well. So I'm happy to be on that journey with you, my friend. thanks for those remarks. Hey, how can I help you today, or what did you want to share with us?
Yes, well, God's blessing on your new directions with Faith Financial. And I saw an advisory yesterday from the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau saying that in 2020, the largest credit card companies started to deliberately suppress their customers' actual payment amounts from the nationwide consumer reporting system. Yeah. I wanted to get your take on what does this mean, and in your opinion, should we be concerned? I just wanted to kind of unpack this, please.
Yeah, it's a great question, Michael, and I am aware of what you're talking about. The CFPB, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, announced that many of the major credit card issuers deliberately stopped reporting the regular payments made by cardholders over the past couple of years. It's really all about marketing. At the end of the day, they're withholding this information in an attempt to make it harder for competitors to come in and offer better rates, products, or services. So, there's a lot of folks jumping around to the next best deal or offer. They're looking at these, balance transfer opportunities. They're trying to, get the better, benefits from another card, perhaps, whether it's a higher cash back option or maybe additional rewards related to travel. These companies admitted that they did this intentionally, of course, and they won't say when they plan to restart reporting actual payment information. Basically, they don't have to. I mean, they're not legally obligated to report at all. It's a voluntary practice, so it's up to them to decide when and how they do it with regard to the nationwide credit reporting agencies. Some report to all, some to one or two, and others may not report at all. So what should you do about it? Well, I think you could certainly check your credit reports to make sure your credit card payments are in fact being reported accurately and in full. And if some are not, you may want to close that account and find another card. I think the key is that they're reporting to at least one of the major credit reporting agencies so that you have that history being collected for you so that you can use that to your benefit. Because obviously, if that information is left off of the report, then any credit scoring algorithm that uses that report is not going to have the benefit of that information. Does that make sense?
It does, and it feels a little bit discouraging.
Yeah.
Because we work hard, if I understand you correctly, and we work hard to make our payments on time, and shopping around is something we generally don't have time for. So
yeah.
We'll just work on taking some extra steps, as you described.
Yeah, very good. And I think the key is here, Michael, to get a copy of that credit report regularly. I suggest at least quarterly. I do it at annualcreditreport.com, where you can get those free of charge, and just make it a regular practice to not only check to make sure that the active accounts you have are being reported on a timely basis and present in the reports, but also at the same time making sure there's not inaccurate or fraudulent information where somebody would have assumed your identity and opened an account in your name that you don't recognize. While you're there, you may want to consider putting a credit freeze on, especially if you're not out looking for credit right now, you're not in the market for a car or shopping for a mortgage. That would place a PIN number on each of the three bureaus' credit files that without that PIN number, no one would be able to open a new credit line in your name, because when the lender went to check your credit, they wouldn't be able to provide the PIN number, and that would stop them in their tracks. That's a free service, and although it's a little bit of an extra hassle when you're out shopping for a loan, it could prevent you from having fraudulent accounts opened in your name. So I think the key here is to, just as you said, continue to stay on top of all of this. You obviously are somebody that's picked up on this, so you're watching information that's coming across like this and then taking action. And in this case, the action is to make sure you stay on top of those credit reports. Hey, Michael, thanks for listening and for being a part of the program today. Tell your wife I said hello, and we'll hope to have you all back on the program sometime in the future. God bless you, sir. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Again, that's 800-525-7000 with whatever you're thinking about financially today. Let me also mention, every day, thousands of people are using the FaithFi app to manage their budget by setting up categories to monitor their spending, and now more than ever with the sky-high inflation. Even better, though, is that you have instant access to leading biblical financial resources with a community of like-minded believers. No other finance app offers all of these elements in one place, specifically built for believers, for Christians on their stewardship journey. So if you'd like to access it, you can check it out at faithfi.com. Just click app to get started. And by using this app, you're also helping to fund our ongoing outreach as a ministry here at Faith and Finance. Hey, a quick email before our break, and then back to more of your calls, questions, and testimonies today. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We would love to hear from you. All right, this question comes to us from an anonymous writer in Florida. She writes, "We've been in a timeshare for 20 years. It seemed like a good idea at the time. Now, we don't use it at all, and we can't afford the $1,200 a year fee. Do you have any questions on how we can get rid of the timeshare and get rid of the $100 a month bill? Thank you in advance." And I would just say to our writer here, this is a challenge that so many folks face. You know, be on your guard before you are willing to sign up for one of these timeshares. They do sound great, and they're sold very hard and very well. But often, although you may enjoy them for a period of time, just committing to something, obligating yourself to something for that long, the opportunity cost of that money that can't be redirected to someplace else is very challenging for folks. Number one, you can try to sell your timeshare. Check out the timeshare users group at tug2.com. That's T-U-G and the number 2.com. It's a great community of timeshare owners who offer advice and share their experiences. The first thing they'll tell you is never pay any upfront fees to a company claiming they can sell your timeshare. There's a lot of fraud in this space. You can also try giving it back to the company you bought it from. It's called a timeshare deed back. But for that to work, it has to be completely paid off, and you can't owe back fees or taxes. If that doesn't work, you can give it away for a dollar, finding somebody to take it on for you, or you can rent it out. I hope you find some success in that. Thanks for writing. We'll be right back on Faith and Finance. Stay with us.
When you hear this...
This is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building, and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at AFN.net. And sign up for our daily news brief at AFN.net.
What if buying groceries, gas, or dining out could help change lives? With Christian Community Credit Union's cards that give to missions, you can help spread the gospel, combat human trafficking, and protect vulnerable children with every purchase at no cost to you. Apply for your card today. More information is available at joinchristiancommunity.com. That's joinchristiancommunity.com. The Credit Union is an underwriter of this ministry. Membership eligibility required.
Forget about Facebook.
The last 10 days we've been banned twice, and is unbanning a word?
They put us under the ban. Christians and conservatives
don't need you, YouTube.
Banned one day, banned again.
AFR programs are now live streaming on the AFA streaming app. Now you can get shows like Today's Issues straight from the source.
Put back on the next.
Just say unbanned.
Unbanned.
Just search AFA streaming or visit streaming.afa.net to sign up.
Are you struggling to fit your faith into your practice as a Christian financial advisor? The Certified Kingdom Advisor designation teaches you a step-by-step process to confidently deliver advice that aligns with Christian values. Discover the skills you need to help your clients make a kingdom impact.
Get started today by enrolling in the CKA educational program at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified. That's kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
American Family Association President Tim Wildman.
Dad was concerned about the direction America was headed, and he was determined to do something about it. Maybe that describes you today. If it does, I want to strongly encourage you to consider a charitable gift annuity to American Family Association Foundation.
Call the AFA Foundation at 800-326-4543, extension 345.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Seek first His kingdom, and then all these things shall be added unto you. Don't seek first the things of this world. Don't seek first the temporal, what your neighbor has down the street. Seek first the kingdom, and then everything else comes into view with an eternal perspective. And now money becomes a tool to accomplish God's purposes. I am Rob West. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio, where we address your financial questions through the lens of a biblical worldview. What are you thinking about today? We'd love to hear from you with your questions, but also your testimonies of God's faithfulness. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We have some lines open. Again, 800-525-7000. Let's head to Texas. Hi, Rhea. Thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Hi, Rob. Thank you for your program. I enjoyed it. I just have a quick question regarding HELOC.
Okay.
You know, we still owe like $300,000 for mortgage.
Yeah.
And we just purchased the house. We put down 50%, and we're thinking about HELOC. So I'm not sure if this is good or not.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of HELOCs, and I'll tell you why in just a moment. But let me ask you, Rhea, why are you thinking about taking out this line of credit?
Oh, because we want to pay off the our mortgage in as short as possible time. Because I was, I'm thinking of putting like $2,000 every month, and and then I don't know if that would be comparable just putting it or just going into HELOC.
I see. And what is the interest rate on your current mortgage?
It's 5.7%.
5.7. Okay. Yeah, the HELOC's going to be higher than that. Although it's a simple interest loan, it's going to be a variable rate, which is one of the reasons why I don't like them. Not to mention the fact you're going to have costs based on opening this new line of credit. So there's going to be closing costs and other related costs as you take out the home equity line of credit. So I would much prefer, even at 5.7, that you just stay with this current loan that you have, this amortized loan with a fixed interest rate. And I love the fact that you have as much as a couple of thousand dollars a month to put on it. How much do you owe at this point?
It's 298, to be exact.
You
we
owe
just
two...
move actually here.
Okay. What do you think the value of your home is?
We just purchased it. We just moved here, 605.
Okay. All right. So you have about 50% loan to equity. And what is your age, Rhea, if you don't mind me asking?
Oh, I'm 54 years old.
Okay, good. Yeah, so I think my goal would be for you all to try to target having this paid off by the time you retire. So one of the things you might want to do is contact your lender and say, can you run me an amortization schedule, that's the payback schedule, that has this mortgage paid off by the time I retire? And so, you know, whether that's 10 years or 15 years, whatever it might be. And then they can tell you exactly how much you need to send extra per month so that you have this mortgage paid off by the time you're planning on retiring. And, you know, that may change. Obviously, we don't know what God's next assignment is and when that right time is for you to redirect toward what he has for you next. But at least you can try to determine what you expect that might be and then base your extra payments on that timeline. Because if you can enter that next season of life where perhaps you're redirecting away from paid work to serve the Lord in a different way, or you might be reducing your income, if you could have this mortgage paid off by that point at the most, if you can do it sooner, great. But at least that largest expense that you have in your budget comes out of the equation. And now it's much easier for you to live on whatever your income sources are at that point, because you don't have to make a mortgage payment every month. So I'd probably stay right where you are. Don't get that HELOC with the variable rate and the added costs of the actual putting the loan in place, but let's really focus on paying down this current mortgage. And I think having that amortization schedule will give you a better insight into what you actually need to send every month to make sure that it's paid off at the very least by the time you retire. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And also because the advantage is, that's what my husband was telling me, because we're talking about it, then the money is always available at HELOC, like when we put on, and then if we need like something like an emergency money, so we can always withdraw it. We have like 3 to 6 months on emergency fund already, but that's what he was telling me, like, oh, the money is always available in HELOC.
It is. And so that's true. As long as the line of credit is open, you can tap into it. The challenge is, I really don't like seeing our home equity as our fallback source of capital. I'd rather you get to the place where your home is paid off and we keep it that way, because then you own it free and clear. And with that comes the peace of mind. I'd rather you have an emergency fund in savings that doesn't require you to pay interest and carry a lot of debt. And so I would build up an emergency fund of, let's say, 6 months worth of expenses in a liquid savings account. And then let's just focus on getting this mortgage paid off and be free and clear and not be in a lender, you know, a borrower, a slave relationship. That's what the Bible describes it when we borrow money. It's a master-slave relationship. I'd rather you be out from under that and not look at your home equity as the place you'd go when the unexpected comes. Let's use your emergency savings account for that and get that mortgage paid off in full.
Oh, okay.
All right. Now, there's a case to be made that if you have this line open, that if you were to lose your job and you had some catastrophic event and you could no longer qualify for a home equity line of credit, that it would be great to have access to. I just would prefer not to see that as the first place to go. And often when it's there, it's just too easy to use it. You know, we find ways or reasons to pull money out of that home equity line because it's kind of staring us in the face. And I'd rather not use that. I mean, there was one bank at one point that had what they called the put it on the house card, which scares me to death. Basically, you have a home equity line of credit with a credit card with a Visa logo on it attached to your line of credit, which means you could go out to dinner and borrow money, put it on the house. I just don't like that. So if it were me, let's get that mortgage paid off. Let's get that emergency fund put up, put aside of 3 to 6 months expenses, but let's do it in savings as well. Hey, Rhea, thanks for your call. 800-525-7000. We'll be right back.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
Jenna Ellis in the morning.
You need to be very concerned about what your children are being exposed to if they go to a public school, or even if they go to a Christian school. Parents are not just allowed, they have a constitutionally protected fundamental right that is God-given to direct the education, well-being, and faith options of their children.
Jenna Ellis in the Morning, weekdays at 7 Central on American Family Radio.
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
We use CHM, Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. And here's the website, chministries.org. chministries.org.
Have you downloaded the FaithFi app yet? You need to do that today, because this is going to make your life easier. Yes, you can manage your money through the in-app envelope feature, but also plan out future goals. I want to buy a house in 5 years, and I'm on track to do that. Here's also what I like. You can connect with people around the country. It's like social media, but better. Ask a question, get an answer, and share what you're learning about money and investing. So why don't you grab your phone right now and download the FaithFi app?
Too busy to catch your favorite shows on the radio? Have no fear, because the AFR app is here. Download the app to have access to live broadcast, music streaming, as well as each podcast. Whether you're at work, at home, or on the go, it's easy to listen to AFR.
The AFR app is available not only for Apple and Android users, but also on Amazon Alexa and Roku.
Download the AFR app today at AFR.net.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
You know, the Bible warns against loving money. It doesn't say money is the root of all evil. It says the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. 1 Timothy 6:10 goes on to say, it's through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. That tells me that craving money can lead you away from your faith in God. Check your heart. I'm talking to myself here as well. We need to always be on our guard that money is competing for God's first place in our life. And if it is, well, we need to do something about that. And giving is often the thing that breaks that grip of money over your life. As you loosen your grip and give it away and participate in God's activity, it will change your heart. We also need to find our identity in Christ and seek first the kingdom. That's going to change our perspective, which is everything from a temporal to an eternal, and ultimately focus us on what God has for us here and now as we think toward the eternal. That's going to be a game changer for us today. I hope that's an encouragement to you. Hey, with your questions and comments today, plus your testimony of God's faithfulness in your life as you've applied His wisdom to your finances, give us a call. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Let's head back to the phones to Michigan. Hey, Greg, thanks for calling, sir. Go ahead.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yes. I was calling to see if I get some information about paying off student loan. Just to give you a little bit of background, I was paying the student loan while I was working. I have since retired, and the payment that I was making, I couldn't afford to make on retirement income.
Yeah.
And so I was encouraged to go into a income-driven payment repayment plan.
Yes, sir.
When I started that plan, the payment was low, affordable, but I was only paying toward interest and not principal.
Yes.
And since then, twice, my payment plan has recalculated, and now the payment is like $850 a month. Mm. And so my question is, let me just say this. Because of that principal increasing each year, because nothing is being paid toward it and the interest is added, compounded to it, the payment continues to go up. And so my question is, would it make sense to, I just heard your conversation about HELOCs, but my question is, would it make more sense to get a HELOC where I'd have a fixed principal and fixed payment and maybe get a job and just pay everything toward paying that off, where that number would not keep rising on me every year?
Yeah. No, I don't like the idea, Greg, of you attaching this to your home. Right now, this is unsecured debt. Now, obviously, there is recourse from the government if you don't pay it, but it's not going to involve you losing your home, which could happen if something, you know, were to happen with regard to you not making those payments on the home equity line of credit. What are the rates that you're dealing with here on these federal student loans?
I think it's 7 point something.
Yeah. Obviously, they're up right now. You know, I think the key for you is, you know, just the ability to pay as much as you can each month. I mean, obviously, you've got to at least cover that interest so that we don't see the balance rising, and then try as you're able to impact the principal by paying more. Have you recertified the income-driven repayment plan to get that monthly payment reduced? And I realize that's a double-edged sword, because although it can fit in your budget, you're not doing a whole lot to get it going in the right direction. But at this point, we just need to keep you current. And then I like the idea of you going back to work or finding a way, you know, to increase your income so that you could get more going to the payback and get this balance going in the right direction without attaching it to your home. But have you looked at perhaps reinitiating that income-driven repayment plan?
Yes, to answer both your questions, I'm in the process of doing that now. I just wanted to have this conversation before I did it.
Okay.
But it's kind of a double-edged sword. When I go back to work, then my income increases, which means the payment increases the next year.
Yeah, which is okay, though, in the sense that we want to increase the payment, because that means we finally have something going to principal to get this going in the right direction so we can actually make some progress toward getting it paid off. And if you have the income to do it, you know, that's great. If you don't have the income, that's where the federal options, and that's why I encourage folks not to refinance to private. The federal option offers you that income-driven option just so you don't go into default. But the goal is to get that as much going toward that payback as possible in whatever means you have to get that balance coming down, which is ultimately going to get it going in the right direction. How much do you owe in total?
It's just under 160.
Yeah, okay. Boy, it's obviously going to be with you for a long time, and so I think the key here is, you know, just to stay current. I wouldn't throw this against the house. If it were me, I would just continue to do whatever you can to generate as much income as you can to try to get this balance coming down. And, you know, just know that with the federal option, you have the income-driven repayment plan if you need it, which is a nice benefit. You're not going to have that, you know, with another type of loan. But I realize this is a difficult spot in this season of life. Having this much debt hanging over you, I know, is probably concerning and frustrating. But I'm glad to hear that you at least have the ability to keep it current, even if it's not going in the right direction. And if you could jump into some additional work and free up some funds that you could, you know, really go at this and attack it, I think, you know, that's obviously the key right now. So I'd probably stay away from that HELOC, Greg, and just do what you can to try to pay this back. I appreciate your call today, my friend. All the best to you. To Texas. Hi, Steve. How can I help you, sir?
How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing great. Thanks for your call.
I was overseas. I was in Iraq and Kuwait, and I invested in some Iraq dinar. A friend of mine that was over there presently working said, you know, don't buy any more than you can just throw away. So I didn't, but I bought quite a bit in their value. And I was just wondering, I've been hearing some, you know, you hear about it every year, but it's never revalued. Do you have any insight on that?
I mean, I would stay away from it. It's very speculative. You know, it's, it trades on the global Forex market. Doesn't mean that's the only way to quote unquote invest in the dinars, but you can also use high fee money changers. The challenge is that the IQD has very little legitimate trading volume. The exchange rate is fixed by the Central Bank of Iraq and doesn't float with the market. And many scammers out there offer overpriced quote unquote investment packages to speculators abroad. So I would stay away from it. I mean, is there anything going in their favor? Well, sure, they have large oil reserves that could support some economic growth. And, for those living and working in Iraq, buying dinars could be a suitable investment. But I think for anybody else, it's something I would just completely stay away from.
Right. Yeah. It's doubled in it from what I paid for it, but that's not what everybody bought it for. So
yeah, well, it might be time to take your profits and run, then take more of a steady plotting approach moving forward. If you happen to come out on the good side of this, and I realize you were there kind of in person, so that's a whole different deal. Hey, thank you for your service, my friend. Hope that's helpful to you. Thanks for being a part of the program today. God bless you. 800-525-7000. We'll be right back.
Hannah's Heart, a half-hour program specifically designed to encourage Christian couples walking through infertility and miscarriage.
This is not a show that's going to promise you a certain outcome, but this is a show that says however God answers your cry, we know that He's enough.
Hannah's Heart with Ann Cockrell and Kendra White each Saturday afternoon at 5 Central on American Family Radio. You can find the podcast at afr.net.
AFR programming is now available on Alexa.
You're joking, right?
Nope, not joking.
Seriously?
Yep, this is not a drill.
Wait a minute, no way.
There's a way, the Alexa way. So if you just happen to miss your favorite shows, no worries. You can now listen to each podcast with Alexa. It's simple and it's free. Just visit afr.net/apps and click Alexa. We're not joking.
45,000. That's how many times FaithFi referred a listener to a certified Kingdom advisor last year. And for good reason. These are trusted financial, legal, and accounting professionals who have completed a rigorous certification program to ensure biblically wise financial advice as part of their practice. You can find a local CKA professional in your area by going to faithfi.com and clicking on the Find a CKA button on the homepage.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Well, it's Friday as we round out the week. We always look forward to having Jerry Boyer stop by. Jerry's our resident economist. He's a columnist at World Opinions. He's the president of Boyer Research. And Jerry, a lot of economic data out this week, specifically inflation. I know the 10-year yields hit their highest levels, I guess, apparently since November, which is a result of the processing this inflation data. And that's put some pressure on stocks this week as well, huh?
Yeah, and just to help people understand, what does a 10-year yield have to do with inflation and what the Fed's going to do? The Fed owns more of those 10-year bonds than any other investor. So if we think the Fed is going to sell them, then the price goes down. And if we think the Fed is going to buy them, then the price goes up. It's as simple as that. When the price goes down, that just yields going up is just another way of saying it. It's the same math. What happened this week is we got inflation data that was higher than expected and higher than the previous month. Most of these come out monthly, and they kind of come out in spurts. right? So you get a bunch of like, yeah, there's some weeks are about housing mainly, and some weeks are about inflation mainly. And this week has had a lot of information about inflation. Consumer inflation, people call that CPI, C is for consumer, and also wholesale prices, which they call producer price inflation. And they were both high, which means the Fed hasn't really won in its fight against inflation. And if it hasn't won, then we know how the Fed thinks. Now, I don't think most of us agree with how the Fed thinks, but we know how they think. They think that growth is what causes inflation. So what's the solution for inflation? Well, you have to slow the economy down. It's a little bit like a chemo kind of thing. It's like it's painful and it's bad for us in some ways, but it's the way to get rid of the disease of inflation. So when we had that high inflation information coming out, Fed various Fed officials made comments that indicated, yeah, we're going to stay tough. We're going to fight inflation, and we all know what that means, trying to slow the economy down. And that means more probability of a recession. So what the same things almost always happen when this occurs. Gold goes down because, oh, maybe the Fed is going to keep fighting inflation. So gold goes down. The dollar goes up because, well, if the Fed's going to keep fighting inflation, it's going to shrink the money supply, and that'll make the dollar worth more compared to, you know, the others. And stocks go down because stocks are all about what growth is going to be like in the future. And if the Fed is intentionally trying to slow down the economy, stocks don't like that. And that's the pattern we had this week.
Yeah, that's really helpful. Jerry, let's take a few extra minutes today, and maybe you could give us a bit of a history lesson. How did we get to the point where we are today on what our current monetary and economic policy is versus maybe where we've been in the past and even a biblical model of how we should look at this?
Well, the founders gave us a monetary system based on gold and silver. It's actually in the text of the Constitution, and it's in the notes of the constitutional deliberations. John Witherspoon, who was one of the founding fathers and a great theologian, most influential theologian of the founding era, he's the one who said, listen, we're not violating Romans 13 if we throw off the oppressive rule of, you know, of the king. So he's a really key theological figure. We know him for that. But most people don't know that he's the person who came forward and made the case against a paper currency which is not backed by anything, what's called fiat currency. And that's what he pushed at the Constitutional Convention. And that's what we had for almost our entire history. Lincoln went off for a little while to help finance the Civil War. FDR broke the gold peg, but then we went back on, you know, after World War II. And then Nixon finally broke it. Why did we break it? Because John Maynard Keynes, the atheist economist who set out to destroy classical economics, was very effective in essentially infiltrating the economics departments of prestigious universities across the United States and England. And that became the standard economic model. And for Keynes, savings is bad, spending is good, growth causes inflation. If you have inflation, you want to drive up unemployment so that workers don't have leverage anymore and don't get pay increases. And one of the pieces of data we got this week is that we had wage increases. You would look at that normally, if the wage increases, yeah, that's great news.
Right.
But in the Keynesian distorted economics, that's bad news, and we have to fight to get wages back down. And that's why Keynesianism is really a kind of an inhuman economics. It has a cruelty to it. And why biblical economics, which says, yeah, you have to fight inflation through the money supply, but you also have to have growth. And that's what we had. We had Paul Volcker and Ronald Reagan. Volcker contracted the money supply. Reagan gave us tax cuts and deregulation for growth. And together we beat inflation and got a growing economy. But before Reagan showed up, it was Volcker and Carter. And that didn't work. It was just pain. And so we right now, I don't want to get too political here, but I just say right now we have more like a Volcker and Carter kind of combination. We have the strictness, the pain of monetary contraction, but we don't have the gain of pro-economic growth policies, and that's why the economy is doing so badly now and why people recognize that in all the polling.
Yeah, exactly right. And a biblical worldview says people are a blessing and we're created to be workers and to be productive, and that leads to economic expansion, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's what people are made to do, to fill the earth and subdue it. I remember I talked to Robert Mundell, father of the Euro, Nobel Prize winner, and I said, what should we do if the growth rate gets up above 4%? I wanted to see whether he was a Keynesian, and he said, let the horses run. You know, and I think a little bit of like Eric Little in Chariots of Fire. This is what we're made to do. Let us, if wages are up, that's great. If unemployment is dropping, you know, then that's great too. Now, stop printing. Don't print any more money. That doesn't create wealth. It just creates money. If you create more money and you don't create more stuff, then the price of stuff goes up. It's like if you're at a restaurant and you have a coat check. If you print more coat checks, but you don't sell more coats, you know, that's a problem. You've got too many coat checks, too many claims on the coats. So you have to grow the economy. You can grow your way out of inflation. We did it in the 1980s, but you can't stagnate your way out of inflation and then say, oh, we're doing something because we're shrinking the money supply and we're imposing pain. So we're biting the bullet. Yeah, we're biting the bullet, but we're not expanding. A biblical view is pro imago Dei, the image of God in man, and it sees growth and productivity as a positive thing, not something we need to slow down.
That's well said, Jerry. And I know you really pioneered the work around what's called principled reasoning, which you can evaluate really any nation on, either they're adhering to biblical principles, all of the things you described, or they're not, and you can find a direct correlation to whether or not they perform, right?
Yes, nations that have strong rule of law, stable money, flat taxes, not too much borrowing, not too much spending, outperform in general nations that do not. And that's the design of the universe. And we praise God for that. We praise God that it works that way. But you can also, in some sense, praise God, not just in some sense. You can praise God when it doesn't work. Because if we break his, if I use a piece of machinery in a way that violates the owner's manual, in some sense, the builder of the machinery and the person who wrote the owner's manual is still vindicated and glorified.
Yes.
You know, God is still vindicated when we violate his principles and bad things happen. But of course, that's not the best answer. The best answer is for us to turn, re-embrace a biblical worldview, re-embrace growth policies, and then get back on the path to prosperity again.
Yeah, that's well said. Well, let's bring it back to the here and now then, Jerry, and that was really helpful as a backdrop. I know you and I are going to be together next week down in Orlando. We'll have a couple of thousand Christian financial advisors there. You'll be teaching and talking about whether or not we could see things really deteriorate economically here in the U.S. Give us a preview as we apply everything you've just said to what's going on today and what that might mean for the future.
The preview is for most of my career when the media wanted somebody who was willing to say, especially conservative media, where there was a lot of the economy's about to collapse, we're about to have hyperinflation, you know, something they'd hear on talk radio or whatever. You know, there's been a lot of scaremongering for like 20 years about the collapse that's just about to happen. I was always the person who came forward and said, no, I don't think so. You know, yes, we have higher debt than we should, but we're not yet at a crisis point. I can no longer be that person. I'm saying that I think it's foreseeable. I don't think it's now. I think that the recession that we're probably going into now is not that great crisis, but I think that Christians in investing and Christians in finance need to seriously be thinking about the fact that America is not immune to a debt crisis. It's happened to European countries. It's happened to Asian countries. We're not immune to it. And we need to take that risk seriously, because even if it's maybe not just now, it could be sooner than we think.
But for the average person who's got a 401k and they're, you know, thinking long term and they've got a properly diversified stock and bond portfolio, that's still the very best place to build wealth and overcome inflation.
I agree, but you might want to have some inflation hedges in there as well, like TIPS, which are inflation hedge bonds, or some gold. Don't go crazy, I think you want to have some hedges against, you know, the possibility of longer-term inflation. That's what we saw this week. They thought it was beaten, but it's not beaten yet. I think inflation's going to be with us for a while.
Yeah, wow. But Jerry, always appreciate your perspective, my friend, and grateful that you look at this through God's design, which was perfect. And when we understand it and can apply it to our lives, well, that always puts us in the best position possible. Thank you, my friend.
Amen.
Grateful for you.
Thank you. Grateful for
you. All right.
You.
I'll see you next week. Jerry Boyer, our resident economist. He's president of Boyer Research, and he's a columnist at World Opinions. You'll find him active on social media as well. Check him out. All right, folks, that's going to do it for us today. Boy, we covered a lot of ground today. I hope and pray that today was an encouragement to you, that you found something valuable and helpful in your life, and you were reminded of God's heart related to your money, that it's not about enriching ourselves, but it's about growing in our intimacy with Him, and our money can actually be a catalyst and a tool to help us do that. On behalf of my team today, Jim Henry, Pat Montague, and Devin Patrick, I'm Rob West. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Have a great weekend, and come back and join us next week. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.